Hello and welcome to a very special episode of Scottish Football Covered. Now, unfortunately, Stefan cannot be with us today due to some unexpected circumstances with his Wi-Fi, maybe conspiring against him are, as he would probably imagine, some kind of Rangers fans who don't want to talk about how Celtic might be running away with the season at a canter. But fortunately, with me today, we have two very important guests who can cover every bit of the game so far. We have Robbie and Mac. Robbie, how are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, mate. I'm not too pleased about the Arsenal score currently, but apart from that, we're all good.
Good to hear. And Mac, how are you?
I'm good as well, mate. I don't think it is Stefan's Wi-Fi. I think he has found another excuse to not play me in the quiz, and he's just went, I'm chucking it.
To be honest, I could believe it, but he's also not here to defend himself, which is the best kind of sledging. So we'll just kick things off. I mean, where else to start then? A Celtic victory capped off with the return of Jota. What a beautiful, beautiful way to end the weekend it is for Celtic fans. Mac, what do you make of that?
It was written in the stars a wee bit. You seen him when he came on. He started on the right hand side and ended up on the left hand side. And it didn't look like a guy who just kind of fell out of love with the game the last 18 months. He looked like he'd never left. And then I don't think I've seen a Celtic player get that adulation. Dare I say it since like Sir Henrik Larsson, since Nakamura. I'm not comparing them, but in terms of adulation for the fans, I've not seen anything like that for a long time.
No, I think that's a fair point to make. It's been a long time out of, the move to Saudi Arabia, what you might call competitive football, not to kind of disrespect another league. But, it seems very much like business as usual. Celtic get the 3 points, they march on. Is it a runaway title? Can we say that they're champions already, Robbie?
I think so. I mean, Celtic looked very, very comfortable. First half, I'd say Motherwell looked okay. They played some decent football, but in that second half, they just tired them out. I mean, the game was 2-1 up until right at the very, very end. And although there was only one goal in it, the game felt won from the second half onwards, really. It just, Motherwell hardly touched the ball. And I just think Celtic are too good. And, when you're making additions like Jota, who I do think is now going to really, really, start to tear it up again, I just can't see them dropping many points from here until the end of the season, to be honest.
No, difficult to imagine that they would. But another goal scorer and another player reborn in that game, Adam Ida, caps off, I mean, what can only be described as the best week of his season by far. That was two goals against Aston Villa and a goal here. Do you feel like he's going to kick on from here, Robbie?
I do think he will, yeah, and I do think there'll probably be a bit of external pressure from the Kvistgaarden rumours. I think obviously he'd came in for just shy of 10 million, I think it was. He's a young player and he's a good player and he needs that kind of time to develop the way that Celtic want him to develop, and I think this could be a very, very big week for him in terms of his confidence, and hopefully he will start to really kick on a bit. But he looked very good again today. He obviously he scored, but he also almost set up an own goal despite being, I think it ended up being offside in the end. But he's looked very sharp.
Mike, Ida's not really looked a great goal scorer all season, but some people would describe him as a big game player, Scottish Cup final winner, two goals against Aston Villa, like I mentioned. Does that feel like it justifies the 9 million price tag that seems to be hanging very heavily on his shoulders?
You could say that. I think probably excuse me, a lot of Celtic fans would have probably paid about 90 million if for him in the summer, just the last minute goals. He scored the big goals against Rangers. Maybe it is just that he works better with pressure, because he'll be playing with more pressure, carrying that responsibility as Celtic's only striker realistically now. I know he soon dies in my head, go through the middle when either my either gets subbed off today, but maybe it is just a player who thrives under pressure. And I think if you're want to be the number nine at Celtic, you have to be able to play under that pressure.
No, that's a fair point. Now, that Scottish Cup final will live in the memories for a long time, and maybe you're right. Some people would pay 90 million to relive that every day. Their defeated opponents today, Motherwell, I mean, we've not discussed this yet, but Stuart Kettlewell resigned off the back of abuse to himself and his family. Robbie, do we feel like fans in Scotland and maybe actually in general have gone too far in this instance?
Absolutely. I don't think there's ever any place for anything like that in football. We saw similar, I think, was it Kai Havertz, his girlfriend a few weeks ago. And you see it so often, this kind of abuse. I think it gets very much kind of spurred on by social media, by the fact that people can say stuff from behind a screen, with no consequences. But it really does need to be stamped out in any way possible because, at the end of the day, it is just football and no one deserves to have their family abused because of a football result.
Mike, I feel it's difficult to ask someone what can be done, especially when they're not getting paid to deal with it. But is there anything that Scottish football can do to kind of mitigate this problem just as soon as possible?
I'm not sure what the football authorities can do. I think all stems back to, as Robbie touched on, the social media aspect. If you have more regulation, I feel like you have to prove your ID if you make an account, but this has gone way and beyond the realms of Scottish football. I think it's a wider issue. And it's like Robbie said, you don't want to see that says all that's abuse to him and his family, and obviously their livelihoods affected now because that's one of them without a job. So it's, you don't know, I don't know what the SFA can do or what clubs can do, but hopefully there is a solution.
No, hopefully there is one. And although it may seem like a secondary problem in the face of the abuse, it is a problem nonetheless, Mac. And that is Motherwell slowly but surely starting to slide out of the top half of the table. Is there a worry there that a season that started so well could just fizzle out to be just as kind of average, if not worse, than the last?
No, definitely, yeah, especially if, I know you said that it definitely has come second due to the abuse, but at the end of the day, they're halfway through a season and now they've got the added pressure of finding the right guy. We don't know who that's going to be yet. There's been a few names passed about, Scott Brown, Neil Lennon, but that's just another issue. And I think when you're facing resilience, you need to be unified in Motherwell or anything but that.
No, it could be a difficult season for them. Climbing right back up at the table, we'll move on to Rangers. Rangers, comfortable 4-0 winners. Now, I know you were both covering the Celtic results, so I'll just tell people what happened in that one. And it was, as expected, Ross County have struggled to travel to Glasgow this season, hammered by Rangers the first time round, hammered by Celtic at Celtic Park. And the story didn't look all that different in this one. 3-0 in the first half. A Yanis Hadji double, John Souter scores, and then the end. James Tavernier grabbed the fourth one, a comfortable outing. I mean, we've talked about Celtic maybe running away with the title, impossible to catch. But how important is it now for Rangers to just, focus on the next game, keep winning them and building them up one by one, Robbie?
I think it's really important. I think maybe not necessarily for the league, because I do feel like the league is probably too far gone. But I think, especially for Rangers in Europe, they really need to make sure that they, week in, week out, are playing at this standard. Because if they drop into some bad form, then that will really hurt their chances of progressing further in the Europa League. Obviously, if they continue winning, there is always a chance that Celtic will drop points. But Celtic have got a game in hand and they are currently 10 points clear. So I just don't really see how they can come back from that, to be honest.
No, I think I'd be hard pressed to disagree with you there. But you mentioned the Europa League result. Mac, what an achievement for Rangers to qualify automatically. I know it's not quite on the level of Celtic making it through to the next round, albeit in the playoffs, but still, good news for Scottish football all round, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. Rangers in the Europa League have been kind of going hand in hand the last couple of years. They've obviously reached that final. Nice, and for parts of this season, saved their best performances for Thursday nights. So it is good for Scottish football, puts it on the map, especially after a few dismal showings from every side in the last few years. So a big achievement topic. We never really know how this league phase was going to look for Celtic and Rangers, but I think both of them have came out very well.
They certainly have. Now, a team that didn't come out of the weekend very well were Rangers' opponents, Ross County. I know it might not have been expected that Ross County fans kind of thought even a point was possible, but still, the defeat sees them sit now in 11th place. Any concern there from the fans, do you think, Robbie?
Yeah, I don't think they've been great recently. And when they have been good, they've only really been winning by maybe one or two goals. I just don't really think that they've got the quality in the side. I mean, they've not won now in 4 or 5 games, I don't think. Their last win coming against Kilmarnock away from home at the start of January. So you do wonder, kind of. I don't know what kind of where they go from here. You know, they've got Motherwell next and then Dundee. They're two games which they could pick points up in, but you know, Motherwell, I suppose, haven't been playing at their best. But I just don't think Ross County look decisive enough going forwards to really, you know, warrant them picking many points up at the moment.
No, absolutely not. 24 goals in 25 games is a paltry return. But Mac, you are our resident Scottish football expert. The stats don't lie. Using all of your wisdom and experience, if you're Ross County, how do you prevent, you know, you finish 11th again, second year in a row? It feels a bit like Groundhog Day for fans themselves in St Johnstone and are fighting it around the bottom. How do you grow a club like Ross County? Like, how do you prevent them from just being in this position year on year?
Well, first of all, I need to thank you, Finlay, for your kind praises there. But now, like you said, I think it's going to be hard for them to grow because they're rooted to that small town of Dingwall. I don't really know. I don't think they know what their ceiling is. But to avoid what I would say though, finishing 11th for them the past couple of years, the quality of the championship, you've always had a bit of faith in Ross County to stay up. Albeit that game against that tie against Partick Thistle a couple of seasons ago, they were looked down and out. The difference with this year is though, the championship is three front runners. It's got Ayr United, it's got Livingston and Falkirk. So I think even if they finish 11th, they're going to be in trouble.
No, I would definitely start to worry. Where I wouldn't worry, however, is in Scotland's actual capital, and that is in Edinburgh. Robbie, who saw this coming from Hibs? They beat Aberdeen 2-0. They've completely done the opposite of the former Aberdeen are in, shocking. Hibs, meanwhile, just racing up the table. I mean, I don't think any of us saw this coming.
I mean, I would say I did see it coming in the sense that Aberdeen have been terrible recently. I think, to be honest, you've got to give it to David Gray because he came under a lot of criticism at the start of the season. I think Max said it last week that this is his first managerial role. And you could kind of see that in the first half of the season because he was playing around with his formations loads. You know, he was playing one up front. Sometimes he was playing two up front. He was using four different four at the back formations. Since just before Christmas, maybe it was, or just before New Year, he's starting to move to like a three at the back formation, and he's played that same formation now for 8 or 9 games. And this is where they have now started to actually pick up points. So it does seem like they've found a winning formula now, and you know, it's testament to the players because they really are on fire at the moment. I think Triantis has been absolutely brilliant for him recently. I got a nice goal today to kind of to award his hard work, I suppose. But yeah, no, Hibs have been brilliant recently, and it's worrying for Aberdeen. It really is.
Now, I don't know if you heard, but Elly Youan's come under a bid for 1.5 million from Stoke. Do you think if you're the club, do you accept that?
I mean, yes, but maybe I'd maybe try and push the price a little bit higher, to be honest. I think, I mean, I know it's a lot of, I know 1.5 million is still a lot of money in, but I just think for a player that has been so influential for a while, you should probably ask to bump that up a little bit.
Shrewd negotiator. Mac, I've been hitting you with the hard questions all night, and I'm going to hit you with one that has puzzled even the highest paid people in Aberdeen. What's going on? How do you fix it? Jimmy Tilleen doesn't seem to know. That's 14 games without a win in the league. I mean, the only team that they've put aside is Elgin, and I don't even necessarily fancy their chances to do it against Dunfermline. What can they do here?
You're asking me what can they do? I ask you how long's a piece of string? Nobody knows. But it's you've we've went for Jimmy if Tilleen I still kind of get his set name right. Tilleen's the manager the season shouts to is his job becoming more precarious by the day? I don't mean at that stage yet, but if Aberdeen fall into the bottom six, have they really improved for Barry Robson and they won it last year? I don't know. And would we have a different outlook on it if like it's just because it's been such a drastic change in fortunes like this season that has just went from greens on the form table to reds on the form table out of nowhere. So if it was a bit more mixed, would we have a different outlook on them? I'm not too sure, but in terms of what they're doing, they have to back up their ideas quick before it does get a bit precarious for Jamie Tilley.
No, that's absolutely fair. You'd be hard pressed to even find a grey in that form table at the moment. But I mean, I think it's just the way that they look so devoid of confidence and creativity. And Mac, that doesn't feel like something you can just, produce out of thin air, does it?
No, at all. And I did think, obviously, oh, it was against Elgin. With all due respect to Elgin, I thought that 3-0 win, just because there was a bit of performance, might have injected a bit of life into them. And then they went out and signed the Latvia international captain for like £800,000, which is a lot of money for Aberdeen. I think the signings are going to just bring a new lease of life into Aberdeen, but they obviously haven't. And then I think the thing with them, even they used to make Pittodrie so hard to go to. Teams will be looking at Aberdeen in the fixture list like we can get a result there, so it's need to create that fear factor and get the confidence back if they want to at least try to secure third.
It's an absolutely remarkable kind of turnaround, and I'd be surprised if they managed to stay in the top six, let alone secured third. I mean, Hibs, incredible. Their arch rivals and capital sharers, Hearts, 6-0 win away to Dundee. Now, that is quite a difficult result to achieve, Robbie. I mean, not that long ago, Hibs and Hearts were looking like they were favourites for the bottom two. Now, Hearts are scoring goals for fun. Elton Kabangu is maybe the most informed player in recent weeks. Where has that come from?
I think it's a big statement. I really do. I think it shows that Hearts are now starting to get back in their groove. I think that their main problem, Hearts, was that they were really, really lacking the goals in Shanklin's absence. You know, Vargas wasn't doing it. Bringing Kabangu in has proved to be very, very, very good so far, and he looks like he's a top player, and he's also rapid, which I think makes a big difference in the Scottish League. It's one of them where it I think it was nice to see Shankland on the score sheet, but I said this last time he scored maybe a month or so ago that I thought he would kick on after that, and then he didn't. So I'm unsure whether it's one of them where we just have to put it down to kind of an off season for him, because I can't really, I don't want to, say that I think he'll really kick on and they'll score loads of goals now, because I don't think he will. I don't think he's been as clinical as he should be this year. But like I say, with having players like Kabangu in now, it is very positive for Hearts, and I do think they will continue to pick points up along the road.
You mentioned Lawrence Shankland. Now, rumours of him signing for Rangers have been as long as, as old as time itself, if you will. If you're a Rangers fan, are you still taking that? I know he's starting to score again. Do you feel like there's a that striker still in there? Someone worth paying or even taking in on a free now?
It's a difficult one purely because Rangers at the moment are not really struggling with their strikers. Igerman is scoring goals. Even Desses at the moment is in good form. If you were to take if they were to offer him on a free, you wouldn't say no because everyone knows the ability that Shanklin's got, but he will be 30 next year. And if you are I imagine Hearts would want a decent sum for him. I feel like it's a bit of a gamble for Rangers if they were to actually pay for him.
Mac, James Wilson, Elton Kabangu, Moussa Drame, Lawrence Shankland. Not that long ago, Hearts didn't have a single goal scorer. Now they've got four. What kind of a problem is that for Neil Critchley to have?
It's the best kind of problem. It's the exact problem Stephen Naismith wish he had, and if he had that problem, he'd have still probably been in the job. But what I Robbie kind of alluded to earlier, there was a reliance on Shanklin's goals last year, which we probably never noticed. We just put it off he's in such fine form. Without those goals, they have struggled. He must have been against Dundee because that was the game he scored those two goals in for the first time in however long. But to go back to your point in terms of a move to Rangers, I don't think that's going to materialise. The only way that would materialise is if they lose Igermany. And even then, I don't think the Rangers fans would want to. There's fees as high as £30 million I've seen rumoured for Igermany. If they get that anywhere near that kind of money, I don't think they'd be best pleased with bringing in a 30-year-old on a free. With all due respect to Shanklin, I know he has proved to be a good striker both for Scotland and Hearts, but look, I just think he's at the he's shown this season, I think he's at the quality to lead the line for Rangers.
Well, I think you might be right, and the approach to signings may have changed at Rangers with the success of Igerman. It might be a case of returning to the, or even starting again, the Celtic model of buy low, sell high, and smart signings maybe starting to be, at the very centre of Hearts' resurgence. Elton Kabangu, that's a product of the link with Union Saint-Gilloise, courtesy of one Tony Bloom. What do you think is going to happen now in Scottish football? Other clubs are seeing the success that this kind of global European partnership is having. Are we going to see more of the same in the Scottish Premiership, do you think, Mac?
I would like to think so. I think I remember when Postecoglou signed a lot of people for the J League. There was then that at Saw Hearts signed a Japanese player in Motherwell. I'm not just saying they signed them because of the success of Celtic's Japanese signings, but it probably definitely influenced them. As for what you're saying about Hearts' transfer strategy, it's funny because I thought the best players they signed in the summer was going to be Blair Spittle and Jan Danda, which was shrewd bits of business, but Jan Danda's not really hit the heights, and it's guys like Kabanga and Drama who have took everyone by surprise. So definitely, I think it's the way to go forward. And then you never know. With Tony Bloom, you've seen what he can do, what he's done with Brighton. They've got into the Europa League, I think, under his stewardship. So maybe Hearts can look at try to separate Celtic and Rangers. Who knows?
And I think we'll spare Tony Bloom's blushes by not mentioning the fact that his side conceded just one more goal than Dundee at the weekend. They lost 7-0 to Brighton, to Nottingham Forest, sorry, but we'll move on from that. Let's talk about a game far less, let's call it free-flowing. That was St Mirren, St Johnstone. I mean, Robbie, it's maybe like drawing blood from a stone, but what can you take from a game like that?
Not much, to be honest. Obviously, it's a big win for St Johnstone. It was a really, really needed win for St Johnstone. They didn't play particularly well again, I didn't think, to be honest. I thought St Mirren had the majority of the chances. But it was just, I say the majority of the chances. There was probably only about three or four chances in the entire game. There's not much to talk about, I think, from that performance, apart from the fact that although it was a scrappy goal, it's a massive, massive goal for St Johnstone because they really need to avoid getting left behind at the bottom now because they're, I think, 5 points behind Ross County. But Ross County, oh no, they don't have a game in hand anymore. But still, 5 points, 5 points behind Ross County. It would have been eight had it not been for yesterday, or seven. So it's important that they kind of start to close that gap. Will they? I'm not 100% sure because I don't think they've looked convincing at all for the majority of the season, but it's a big result.
No, an incredible result that narrows that gap to Ross County. I mean, Mac, when Simo Valakari came in, there was a lot of talk about it felt like he was playing the Barcelona style of football in Perth. I don't know how accurate that is, but getting a 1-0 away win, scrappy victory at the Smijsen Stadium, does it feel like the Scottish Premiership has somewhat bent Simo Valakari's tactics to its will? Is that just the way it goes?
Yeah, well, I've seen a lot of discourse, albeit in the Premier League, like Ruben Amorim, should he compromise his principles? Should Postecoglou compromise their principles and just get results? I think that's what Valakari is doing right now. Just he's seen the position St Johnstone and are in, and he's like, we just need to get points by hook or by crook. We just need to get points on the board here. So, all credit to him. I think it takes a lot of guts to go, all right, what I was doing might not be working, might not be best for the team. I'll look at the players I've got. This is how I'm going to get a result. And we've spoke ad nauseam sometimes how hard a place at Mirren can be and how better teams have struggled there. So for to go there and come up with a result is all I could have been dreaming for.
You mentioned kind of maybe abandoning some of your core principles. Do you feel like that would have won some of the St. Johnstone fans back on side?
Definitely. I think fans want to see points before they see beautiful football. If you can get both of them at the same time, even better. But when you're in a position like St Johnstone are, and then I can only speak from my personal experience as a Celtic fan, when you're at that end of the table and it's tight, well, we're at the opposite end of the table, but you just want points and you just want to better your rivals. It doesn't matter how you do it. So I think that St Johnstone fans will be commending Valakari for doing that.
Well, the master of just getting results is, Kilmarnock manager Derek McInnes, and he's done it again. It's been, I mean, compared to last year, it's been a pretty poor season for Kilmarnock. We've had players not really firing. Marley Watkins kind of appeared from nowhere this season, very much just scoring a what can only be described as a controversial goal. Robbie, his jump, his leap with Jack Walton, do we think that's a goal that should be allowed?
I think so, yes. I think that the keeper needs to be stronger in that situation. I think Watkins jumped up, didn't get his arms in there, anything like that. He just jumped up next to the keeper. The keeper in that situation should be strong enough to be taking, a hit from a player without going down. Watkins didn't do anything that would be deemed as a foul if it was two players going for a header in the middle of the pitch. So he shouldn't be deemed as a foul on the keeper as well. I know that keepers are overly protected in football, so that's my take on it. I don't think that it was a foul, and I think the goal should have stood.
No, either way, it didn't look like Dundee United were in with much of a chance. Mac, four losses in their last five games. Are Dundee United in danger of maybe missing out on an important difference between third and fourth? Could they kind of find their way even lower than that come the end of the season?
It's just such an unpredictable league because 1 minute you're talking about Hearts and Hibs in a relegation fight, the next minute you're like they're going to overtake the United who are sitting in third. It's all going to come down to the games between each other, I think, in that third to sixth sort of bracket. So they are in danger of sitting down, especially with the forms of the other teams, definitely. So they've just got to build on the good form of Sam Dalby, although he never scored yesterday, and go try re-find the form they found at other parts of this season.
Well, Jim Goodwin will have to hope that his new signings can make that crucial impact and maybe give that season another kick start. Well, that will kind of round up the talk of this weekend. We'll move on quickly to the week that is coming up, and that is starting on Wednesday. Celtic take on Dundee. So I'm going to start with quick fire predictions for Wednesday and then Saturday. Robbie, who do you have for Celtic Dundee?
Celtic, I'm going to say 4-0, and I reckon Jota is getting two.
Mac, it feels slightly moot to ask, but who do you have for this one?
Dundee 3-0. Okay. I'll go Celtic 3-0.
3-0. Do you think they play again on Saturday against Dundee United? Do they complete a Dundee double?
Yeah, I'm going to back them. I'll say 2-0. No. One less than Wednesday.
Robbie.
I'm going to say 4-0 in both games.
Now, do Dundee pick up a win after their kind of predicted defeat to Celtic when they take on Aberdeen at home?
No, yes, I'm going to say yes because of just how bad Aberdeen are at the moment. I think anyone can beat them at the moment, regardless.
Mac, do you give Aberdeen a snowball's chance in Dundee?
I am going to say one each. There you go.
One each that I think Jimmy Tallina at this point would take any kind of point. Mac, Kilmarnock welcome St Johnstone for, what is set to be a nil-nil or 1-0, but am I wrong?
No. No, I don't think you're wrong. I could see that being no. It's two teams that are very hard to predict this season, but I'm going to go no. It's going to be. It could be the most boring game of all time.
Robbie, cheer some fans up from either kind of set. Any different?
No, I'm not going to cheer anyone up. I think it's going to be nil-nil as well.
What about Motherwell, Ross County? Who do you have for that, Robbie?
Motherwell, I'm going to say 2-1.
Mac, surely two teams can't lose a game. Who have you got for this one?
I'm going to go 1-1, just because Motherwell don't have a manager yet. I'm going with 1-1.
One. Now we move over to Sunday's game. We're going back to Hearts Rangers. Mike, 6-0, can Hearts build on that, or Rangers just have too much for them?
I would. You would like to think Hearts can build on that. I don't think they're probably going to match a 6-0 all season, but it's the perfect time to get it before Rangers come to town. But I just Rangers have found their rhythm a little bit as well, so I'd go Rangers to win this 3-1.
Robbie, you love an argument. Do you disagree with Mac here?
I don't, unfortunately, no. I think Hearts will score, but Rangers have been too good recently. I'm going to say 3-1 as well.
Never a contrarian. Now we'll move on to our final game, and that is St Mirren against Hibs. Robbie, can St Mirren turn things around? Can they get back into good form, push themselves back into the top six?
Not against this Hibs side at the moment, no. I'm going to say 3-0 to Hibs.
Mac, disagree?
I wish I did for argument's sake, but I don't. David Gray Express is steaming through Paisley and they're going to come out with a 2-0 win, I believe.
Well, perfect. And that is a great way to end the show this weekend. I want to thank Robbie and Mac for joining me in covering all things Scottish football as per the name. You've been listening to Scottish Football Covered. Join us again next week. Or